Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, the Soviets' latest accomplishment in invading outer space is termed fantastic. At least that is the word being used by scientists to describe the precision launching of a Russian rocket due to reach the planet Venus sometime in mid-May. Now, Venus, incidentally, is the third brightest object in the sky, surpassed in brilliance only by the Sun and the Moon. Some wonder whether Venus is inhabited. Like our Earth, a veil of clouds covers Venus so that telescopes are unable to see its actual surface. Thus, the planet, shrouded in mystery, is now the target of man-made missiles. It's very seldom that a minister's message ever makes the headlines or attracts the attention of Congress. But the Reverend Clay Cooper of Spokane, Washington, had his message written into the Congressional Record, wherein he declared, "It's time we stop chiding ourselves about Russia having attained the conquest of outer space. Penetration is a far more suitable word, and penetration falls short of conquest. And besides," says Cooper, "if the moral governor of this universe interprets this penetration as an intrusion on his preserve, his domain, as some hold, let us be glad the Russians have this questioned honor." You know, past attempts to invade the heavens have met with failure. There was Lucifer, son of the morning, an angel of the highest order, who once proudly boasted, saying, "I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And in his pride and arrogance he was dethroned, debased to the lowest hell. Then there was a time when man, too, set out to build a city and erect a tower whose top would reach into heaven. And again God intervened to put a stop to man's reckless venture, scattering the people, confusing their language. So is it any wonder that we might question the reaction of the Almighty when his universe more and more is being invaded by man-made missiles and moons? It was in 1869 when the Jeancourt brothers of France were giving a dinner for the noted scientist, Pierre Berthel, who declared, "In about 100 years from now, it will be possible for us to ignite and extinguish the sun as we do a lamp." The Jancourt brothers, when they heard this, replied, "And when that day comes, I think God will come down from the heavens like a night watchman rattling his keys and say, 'Gentlemen, it's closing time.'" Friends, we believe it's closing time. The midnight cry is about to be heard. The trump of God is about to sound. Oh, how urgent it is that we sound forth the message of judgment that will befall all those who are not ready to meet our blessed Lord when he appears swiftly to rapture his redeemed saints from off the earth. But how wonderful, how glorious to be caught away, to be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, chaperoned by the Lord Jesus himself back to heaven. Beloved, only a select company will be in on that space flight. Without the need of rockets, believers in the Lord Jesus will be hurled heavenward with unbelievable speed. Knowing our bodies could not keep pace with space, the Lord gives us a glorified body. "This corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Hallelujah. Glorified spacesuits, if you please. "And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' Yes, with our new bodies no longer subject to disease, death, or decay, we wing our flight heavenward and homeward to be forever with our wonderful Lord." You know, man was originally created to be an earth dweller. The Bible tells us that the bounds of his habitation were set at the time of creation. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we read, "Where the Lord hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the bounds of their habitation." Well, not until our Lord returns will redeemed man be set free from the gravitational pull that holds him to this earth. You know, sometimes I get the strangest feeling that it's about to occur at any moment. There are some folk, even preachers, who would tell us that there isn't any place called heaven. But the Apostle Paul relates an incident of being caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, and of hearing unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Sometimes on the job, or in the grocery store, while traveling, you can't help but get among ungodly people who tell forth filthy stories or use language that a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ would never think of using. In contrast, the Apostle Paul tells of language so heavenly that it was unlawful to tell forth or reveal, but which he actually heard when he caught a glimpse of the glory world. No doubt the Apostle himself, when he was there at Lystra, mobbed by the crowd, stoned, dragged outside the city, left for dead, he may have been actually dead. That is, his spirit may have left his body, and he was caught up into paradise, and there got a glimpse of Jesus and of heaven. But the Lord may have said to him, "Brother Paul, I'm not through with you yet." And so he returned back to earth, again entering into his body, for we read how the disciples were standing about him, probably mourning his loss, when suddenly he rose up and returned back into the city. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, friends, who could take Paul's lifeless, broken body, mauled by rocks, bruised and beaten, and suddenly, with power and strength not his own, he gets up and walks away. And that, friends, is the great power of God. Talk about the power of the atom that can destroy this earth. Talk about the power of a rocket that can thrust an object as heavy as a house sailing skyward into space. Still, there isn't anything to compare with God's divine power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and which the Apostle Paul came to experience, and many others no doubt have come to know about. No wonder Paul could declare, "If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal or physical bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Think of it, friends. You who may be suffering, it may be that God wants us to experience this. He wants to raise us from that bed of pain. He wants to free us from oppression. He wants to release us from discouragement, from mental oppression. I'm glad to give personal testimony to this fact, friends. This is real. While suffering from a rheumatoid arthritis condition, we've related this before, a condition further aggravated by other physical complications, how the Lord one night so wonderfully awakened us, and we heard the still small voice of the Spirit declaring, "I've healed you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet." Physical and spiritual needs were met at once as God intervened on behalf of the need. And God is no respecter of persons. What he did for the Apostle Paul and for countless others, he will do for you. Incidentally, Dr. Epp of the Back to the Bible broadcast related at Moody Church in Chicago how this verse is his life's verse. Romans 8:13, let's repeat it. "If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal or physical bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Ah, beloved, do you know that indwelling presence of God within you? In future broadcasts, we'd like to devote more time to this. We believe it's all important for the believer to know his possibilities, his potentialities in Christ, and possess his possessions wrought at Calvary. Well, again, referring to the Apostle Paul, who tells of being caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, "Lest he be exalted above measure, he was given a thorn in the flesh." That is something to remind him that he was an earth dweller. You know, they say some folk are so heaven-conscious, they're no earthly good. Did you ever see any of them? They travel to this Bible conference and to that church camp, hear sermons and lectures, always drinking in truth, but never giving it out. Like the Dead Sea, always taking in, but not sending forth. Well, praise the Lord, when the Holy Spirit comes in to fill the life, it's as though there were rivers of living water bursting forth, said Jesus. You can't dam up a river. It must spill out and touch a thirsty, parched, and barren land. So lest the Apostle Paul keep rejoicing over these revelations which God had given to him, this penetration into outer space, into the third heaven, into paradise, we read how the Lord had to allow human weakness, persecutions, distresses, and reproaches to come, to let Paul know that his grace was sufficient even in these, that the Lord would never leave him nor forsake him, that the trials of life would eventually be over. And in these trials, the apostle could be sympathetic with the needs of others and ever interest himself in the souls of men and know that God's power was able to meet their needs. Praise the Lord. Now, we can be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but what good does it do if a lost humanity doesn't share the joys which we have come to know, and we do not seek to lead others to Christ and to a fuller knowledge of the Holy Spirit's power? Now, do you have this Jesus? Do you know Christ? Have you taken him into the inner recesses of your being? Have you literally surrendered to him entirely, saying, "Take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee"? Ah, beloved, listen, when nations are attempting to invade the heavens, simply remember that Jesus Christ is the only real, true way to heaven. He died for our sins that we may gain heaven. And he has said that he that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber. The psalmist inquires, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" The answer comes back, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." Now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior and your heart is made clean and pure by the blood of Christ, then you have a ticket for heaven, for the pure in heart shall see God. What about your hands? Are they clean? Is your conduct in this world of such a nature that should Jesus suddenly come, you would be ready? Some may still be holding on to sinful pleasures or wealth, or their hands may be defiled with impure relationships. Ah, heaven is a holy place. Nothing shall enter therein that defileth nor maketh a lie. Heaven is God's dwelling place, the abode of the celestial beings, the heritage of the saints. Do you know that you're going there? The Negro spiritual says not everyone talking about heaven is going there, but you can know you're going to heaven. You'll turn from your sin to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him as both Savior and Lord. And then, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Will you be ready
to go? Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.